It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number two, and Tucker's Tape is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Located only minutes from Beaver Stadium, the convenience and value of renting an RV for a Penn State home game is something every Nittany Lions fan should consider. Everybody who rents an RV from GoPSURV.com is entered to win breakfast with Blair Thomas. Yet another reason to make GoPSURV.com your choice for home games. For more information, visit their website, GoPSURV.com, or call Mark, 1-800-519-8467. GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, quarter two, Tucker's Tape. Your takeaways from the Michigan game and what they mean going forward. Penn State 28, Michigan 21. What did you see, Ross?
So, a lot to get to today.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there was. So, honestly, it's weird, but I feel like moving forward, especially since he only has six games or seven, wherever he is left in the NFL, in his college season before he goes to the NFL, I almost wonder if they could or should use KJ Hamler even more. I do think moving forward to this Michigan State game that teams are going to really try to take him away. But even stuff on shallow crosses, jet sweeps, like even if they're trying to take away the downfield stuff, you almost can't use that guy enough in my mind. I mean, he is by far their most explosive player. The Noah Kane thing, it's interesting because I got asked by some people this week, it's just really hard to rotate four guys. And I said in my head, I feel like, and you know, when Franklin says that there's a million different factors that go into it, you know, part of that might be blitz pickup. Part of that might be trying to keep a happy locker room for the rest of the season. Part of that might be trying to not have anybody transfer
right
this offseason. I think the risk you run, though, is if you're trying to make everybody happy, you might get multiple people upset. Now, the flip side is the guy I probably would have started to peel back on his or pull back on his touches, Ricky Slade. I mean, if you're going by a sample size, well, Ricky Slade averaged 16 yards a carry. He had 48 yards. Well, he had one 44-yarder, and then he had two other carries for 4 yards. But it was a nice hole. He hit it. He does have some explosive ability. So if you're playing devil's advocate and you're Penn State, that would be your argument that, like, well, he gives us an explosive element. But when – you know, there was some speculation, Bob, I want to ask you about this, that maybe Noah Kane didn't go to class or something. Like, where does that stuff come from?
I mean, that's what it is. It's speculation. I didn't hear anything like that. And usually, if that is the issue, you look what he did with Garrett Sickles against right. Ohio State. Usually, it's a very firm, it's very clear he's being held out. He missed the whole first half, played the second half. The way that they used Noah, they used him a little bit early.
He just didn't get any carries.
They used him a little bit early. They used him at the start of the third quarter. And then they ignored him. And then with 2 minutes to go, and the game on the line, they sent him in. So that, to me, didn't feel like it was a class-related issue.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the suspension for missing class would be, you're going to start the game, you're going to finish the game, but in between, we're going to keep you on the bench.
No carries for you.
I do think, though, you know, it's interesting. They didn't have that many snaps. Like, if you look at the touches, and a lot of it ends up being Clifford running the ball.
Yeah.
But they didn't really, you know, other than Hamler, who should get the ball that much, nobody really got it that much. They didn't really have that many opportunities. I think the best thing that Penn State has going right now is probably twofold, but their ability to close out games.
Yeah.
They weren't doing this previous years.
They were, no.
And I know Penn State fans were unsatisfied with that, or dissatisfied with that win because Michigan came back and they almost lost. I can't believe that kid dropped the ball, by the way. Holy cow. But they only beat Michigan one time under Franklin. They're a top 20 team. They recruited a very high level. Like, it's just interesting that we're at the point now, whether it's Iowa or Michigan, that people win at Iowa or Michigan, that people are complaining that they're not winning by enough or not in impressive enough fashion. I think the better way to look at it is, for the most part, they start fast. And most importantly, they make the plays at the end of the game to win it. That they didn't in some of these previous years.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you because Shea Patterson met with the press this week, and I think I have this 100%. He admitted he didn't score on the goal line stand before that.
Correct.
But the question I want to ask Ross is, Ross, what kind of mayhem do you think was going on in that scrum when you couldn't even find Shea Patterson on the sneak and the Penn State defense was trying to get the ball back? I had heard that it might have been a little bit of aggressive, some aggressive tactics.
Well, he said that they tried to gouge his eyes or whatever. I mean,
it's not just football.
It might, that might have happened. I don't think that that's football. I don't think gouging a guy's eyes is football. I never thought grabbing them in the nether regions during a fumble is football. To me,
where's the line?
Everything in except for those two things, I would say. I would say bending fingers is good. I would say anything else is good, but I don't think you go for the eyeballs or the other balls. I don't think you go for either one of those in my mind. I will say this. Michigan is really unlikable. You know, they complain after every game they lose. You know, even when they win. You know when they beat Army? Harbaugh said that there were 24, this is after he watched the film, that there were 24 illegal blocks by Army on the nose tackle because they were cutting him, that he said they were illegal blocks. What they did to our nose tackle is criminal. First of all, I watched the game. Those are legal blocks, so maybe Harbaugh should learn the rules. Secondly, imagine calling the West Point kids criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in your – of all the kids in the country, you're going to say what the West Point kids did on the field is criminal? That is criminal to me. That really drives me crazy. All right, back to Penn. Do your thing, Andy.
We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Quarter two, Tucker's Tape. Carry on, sir.
All right, so – you said it earlier, Bob, in segment number one. Castro Fields shows flashes. And I would say it's almost like more flashes each game, but then there's still one where you're like he's a junior now. He's played for 3 years. They need him to make those plays. He's one of their guys that has to make those plays. Like the guys that you have that are good enough to think about going pro early – they got to make those.
That plays was a big miss in the game. I know that he played well before that, but that really kind of got the momentum on Michigan's side.
Garrett Taylor is doing a nice job. He's doing a nice job. You said earlier, too. That's a big takeaway for me. They still, I think, Lamont Wade and Garrett Taylor are tackling pretty well, which is a good sign. In terms of bad signs, I'm wondering at times if the D-line is overrated a little bit. I mean, they went up against a good offensive line, and they didn't do a whole lot.
They couldn't get home.
At home.
They weren't
at home. What are they going to do at Ohio State?
I saw them getting twisted.
Where's the Minnesota game?
Away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. You're supposed to have the noise advantage at home, the energy advantage. Now, they did it at Iowa.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I don't know, how good is Minnesota's offensive line, do you know?
I think they're pretty good.
They are pretty good.
They're solid. They're better than Iowa's. I don't know if they're as good as Michigan.
I don't think they're quite as good as Michigan.
So, like, Michigan won the battle up front. Like, if you watch that game objectively, I'm not sure you come away from it thinking Penn State's the better team. They won the game, which is all that matters, but I'm not sure Michigan won the battle up front. I mean, Charbonnet averaged
good player, very good player,
4 yards a carry. Meanwhile, Penn State was averaging 3.5 yards a carry as a team. I mean, they won the battle up front, which is concerning, and Penn State has to fix that now, like, or they will lose to Michigan State. They need to win that battle. Clifford is consistently inconsistent. I like his guts. He made some big time throws when they need him to. You know, he's still young.
Right.
And like I said earlier, if he wasn't inconsistent, then he'd be like a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's not there yet. I'll say this too. I thought Penn State got lucky on the Freiermuth offensive pass interference push off.
Extended
bit.
The arm clear.
On the John Reed play.
John Reed was
for
early.
Sure.
Yeah, that's.
And on Ronnie Bell dropping the ball.
He dropped the
so,
ball.
So let's just remember, like, Penn State fans love to kill the refs. So just like I said about Ricky Ronnie, like, let's give Ricky Ronnie credit for a good play call and closing out the game. Let's remember, sometimes the Big Ten refs being bad help Penn State because they got a couple of big-time breaks in that game.
Yeah, and I thought one of the biggest plays in the game was the play that preceded the second long touchdown to Hamler, the slant on third and five that Clifford threw to Hamler.
Yeah.
It was a bullet, good throw, really good hands catch by Hamler. And then on the next play, they went for the touchdown. They got behind the safety. I thought that was a – because momentum was on Michigan's side right there. That was a big – he talked about Clifford making some big plays in that game. That was one of them.
And then just to wrap it up, wow. Great sign. I mean, Micah Parsons is a total freak. And kind of like what I said about KJ Hamler, where your guys that are going to be pro prospects need to make plays. He stepped up. He was playing at a different speed. He looked like LeVar. He really looked like LeVar in that game with his acceleration. It's crazy because I still thought he'd be at the end all the way. Isn't his acceleration at the end?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're using him a little more
at
the line
of
scrimmage instead of just kind of stacked as well.
Yep.
I thought Ricky Slade showed a burst, which is a good sign for when they do give him playing time. I thought the offensive line was actually rolling early in the game, and then they weren't as good late. And the DB tackling was good, but not as good as it had been. So those are my biggest takeaways. But the biggest takeaway is they're finishing, and they're making the plays to win the game at the end. And I think that's how the Michigan State game is going to go. They're going to have to make a couple winning plays at the end of the game that they haven't made the last 2 years.
All right, that's it for quarter number two. And Tucker's Tape from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. We've got your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is next.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.